Tara, Intrepid has just released its annual Not Hot list. What exactly is a Not Hot list?
So we've been doing it for 3 years. We like to focus on a region, so a continent. In this instance, we've focused on the Americas and show the places that are under the radar, that are up and coming places that we should know about.
And so presumably you're trying to veer people away from the areas that are suffering from over-tourism.
Well, it's giving travellers more of an option. It's saying that there are alternatives that they will find not as many tourists at, so they don't have the issues that plague many of the bigger tourist sites. But they also offer an opportunity to really engage with the local community and do something that they probably haven't heard of before. It's just kind of putting these sorts of destinations to the forefront of travellers' minds so that they know that there are more options beyond the well-trodden tourist path.
Do you think people take notice of your alternative adventure-driven suggestions?
But yeah, I think so. I'm sure they'll also want to do things that are more well-known, but they'll also have their eyes open to getting off the beaten track a little more.
Quite honestly, I think it would be rather hard to convince travellers to drop the bucket list destinations to focus on somewhere else. What's your feeling on this?
I think there will always be. I have my own personal bucket list. We all do. And they definitely are the bucket list destinations for a reason.
And maybe travellers will add your alternatives to their list.
With a lot of the trips that we recommend, it includes the places that people do want to tick off that are important and on the bucket list, as well as the places that are less visited, more under the radar. So the combination of both.
I actually like the idea of Louisiana and suggesting that instead of going to New Orleans for the Mardi Gras, you'd go to Lafayette Mardi Gras, which attracts obviously a lot less people and more or less in the same area.
So that trip actually takes in both. So you get both experiences. But yes, the one in Lafayette is going to be one where you really can get under the skin of it because it is small enough to feel really part of something, as well as to meet some locals and learn about the culture behind it, the music scene and the costumes as well. So yeah, it would be quite an extraordinary experience to go from the smaller scale Mardi Gras to then the big famous well-known New Orleans one.
And that makes sense too, because by the time you get to New Orleans, you understand what the Mardi Gras is all about.
Exactly, even better. You come to it with a good knowledge and appreciation of all the culture that underpins it, and then you can be very hedonistic and enjoy in the revelry.
In fact, that's a lot of travel is about going the second time. The first time you're not quite sure what to expect, the second time you know. I'm not so sure about the Galapagos alternatives. Those islands have such diverse wildlife, whereas the Canadian suggestion may have whales and grizzly bears and native culture, but it doesn't quite match up.
So it wasn't just us that compared it. Condé Nast Traveler actually called it the kind of the Canadian alternative to the Galapagos. But I guess the Galapagos is phenomenal. We love taking travellers there. But with Haida Gwaii, I think the comparison is more in the endemic flora and fauna. So I know they have some endemic spruce trees there with some fabulous green moss, as well as, I think, 20 species of whale, dolphin and porpoise. And there's also an endemic bear that lives there. It's kind of Canada's equivalent just because, like, those islands have been isolated for so long that it's allowed these species to thrive.
I do like the suggestion of heading to a palm fringe beach in northern Brazil rather than the crowded Venice Beach in California. Yes. It would be just as colourful.
And it's car-free as well, so it takes away the stress, the island in Brazil. And, yeah, it just looks like there's some fabulous things to do with waterfalls and capoeira and some great local experiences to be had. It wasn't a place that I was aware of either. I think northern Brazil is a little under the radar. Put more of a spotlight on these places and combine them with other things that people probably have heard of or are more aware of.
I was surprised to see that Australian tourists spend more than $8 billion in trips to the Americas annually.
Yes, yes, it is. Of course, there'd be business travel would also account for some of that. But yes, it's a significant number. And that's just to America. So this obviously includes the places it chooses. Contains Canada as well as South America.
Presumably, it would be much better if some of that money was spent in less visited places.
Absolutely. That's one of our strong ethoses, is that we want the money to be dispersed among kind of local communities and places that don't get as much love or attention.
Is it younger travellers who are more likely to take up your off-the-beaten-track destinations?
Oh, no. Everyone's adventurous across the board. We find that our travellers are equally as adventurous no matter what the age. I think maybe that adventure travel is a leveler in terms of the experiences that people want to have. So no, we find that there's quite a broad spectrum of ages on our trips, and older travellers are just as engaged with these sorts of concepts.
What about accommodation along the way and transport?
We always try to use local accommodation on our trips, and a few of them our comfort level, which means that they're higher than the standard Intrepid trip level. Sometimes we have some camping if it's a wildlife area, but that would be branded as a basics or a kind of more active level trip. So it really just depends on the product.
Finally, I was going to ask you, have you travelled on Intrepid trips often?
Yes.
So where have you been to that stands out?
Yes. Went on the kind of inaugural women's only trip to Iran, which was only a few years ago now. It was kind of the inception of the concept of women's only expeditions, because Iran, it's hard to get under the skin of unless you're, as a female traveller, unless you have a female guide. So Intrepid saw that there was an opportunity to take women only on a trip that would take them to beauty salons, and there are women's only carriages in Tehran, and go to homes with cooking classes with local women and have a female guide, of course, who can then explain what it's like for her being a female in Iran. It's a country that has so many misconceptions around it. So we were all absolutely fascinated and had so many questions to ask about dating and what it's like socializing. And yeah, so we had all our questions answered on that trip. And Iran is just such a beautiful country. It has such a beautiful spirit of hospitality. I remember being in a mosque in Tehran, and a lady came over and I thought, oh, am I out of place? Am I being, you know, disrespectful? I was fully covered head to toe, but she came up and kind of stroked my cheek, and my guide translated that she was saying how grateful she was that I was here and exploring her country and, you know, being open-minded to her faith. It's a really beautiful experience that encapsulates the country.
Tara, that sounds fabulous. So where are you thinking of going to next?
Peru is on my radar. So I'm looking at the Huachina, the desert oasis, but I'm just also back from Mongolia. So I'm just recovering from that, which was an incredible experience.
So you really do have to taste what the traveller is going to be experiencing.
Exactly. Yeah. Mongolia was a great example of that, because it is so far flung and remote, and no phone and no Wi-Fi. So good time to switch off as well.